On Wednesday's front page, Egypt's ruling military council promised to speed the transition to civilian rule. The American Bar Association has declared a significant number of President Obama's potential judicial nominees not qualified. And what telemarketers are doing to beat caller ID and get you to answer. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Egypt's military rulers promised to speed up the transition to civilian rule. That was one result of a high-level meeting in Cairo. Times reporter David D. Kirkpatrick tells us it's not likely to satisfy protesters who are demanding an immediate transfer of power.
The military met privately with a group of Islamists led by the Muslim Brotherhood and struck what appears to be a private deal. Liberal groups were invited but chose not to attend the meeting in solidarity with the protesters. The private deal the military struck with the Islamists would provide for a transition of power not now, but in June. It's good news for people who favor civilian rule because it means that a constitution, which is expected to be drafted after the election of a new parliament, might well be ratified under civilian rule. But it's bad news in many ways for the political process here because it drives a new wedge between the Islamists and the liberals, who are already quite polarized. The crowd in Tahrir, however, booed the announcement resoundingly. They are insisting that the military turn over at least some power to a civilian government. They want an end to unfettered martial law right now.
Times reporter David D. Kirkpatrick. The deal calls for the first round of National Assembly elections to go ahead as scheduled next week. That was a major goal of the Muslim Brotherhood. It stands to do well in the voting. The authorities had been hoping the demonstrators would run out of steam and simply go home. That hasn't happened, and Times correspondent Anthony Shadid says it's not clear what path Egypt will take going forward.
If the uprising in January and February was a revolt against President Hosni Mubarak, the scenes we're seeing today in Tahrir Square are an uprising against his legacy. There's also a notion that the military, that the political class, that other institutions that should be navigating a transition aren't up to the task. There's a fear among some that these transitions are going to be so difficult that we might be seeing rolling Tahrir squares. In other words, the street anger, the street protests that are trying to articulate demands that the political class can't fulfill. No one's talking about elections in Tahrir Square right now. It's more generalized anger, more generalized resentment. There's rather a sense that the revolution somehow was stolen from them.
Times correspondent Anthony Shadid. My regulator made me do it. That's what one bank executive is saying. Former IndyMac chief Michael Perry is facing fraud charges filed by the SEC. He says a top official at the Office of Thrift Supervision approved the actions the SEC is challenging. He says the official told him to backdate the bank's books to show an $18 million cash infusion. That helped mask the bank's financial problems. Also on Wednesday's front page, the ABA has rejected more of President Obama's potential judicial nominees than it did when George Bush or Bill Clinton were in the White House. It's found 14 of 185 possible nominees not qualified. Nearly all the poor ratings went to women or members of an ethnic minority group. As a matter of policy, the White House won't go ahead with nominations unless the ABA is on board. But Times reporter Charlie Savage says this adds a new twist to the politics of judgeships. During recent Republican administrations, conservatives accused the ABA of bias against conservative nominees. Telemarketers are turning caller ID into fake ID. The phone may say the Humane Society is calling, but often that's just a cover. Telemarketers have also found ways to have the caller ID screen come up blank or show a local number. They're betting that will get people's interest and they'll pick up. The FTC is considering a new crackdown. There are no cows on Mars, so why is there methane? Times reporter Kenneth Chang says NASA could get some answers. It's about to launch the Mars Science Laboratory. It'll leave Cape Canaveral on Saturday if everything goes according to schedule. It'll plop down on Mars next August. It's carrying a rover the size of an SUV that can detect methane. Scientists are hoping it'll go straight to the source. Inside Wednesday's Times, Pakistan's embattled ambassador to the U.S. was forced out. Diplomat Hussein Haqqani resigned amid accusations that he'd gone looking for U.S. help in heading off a possible military coup. Haqqani denies that, but the accusations touched off a political storm in Pakistan. Anti-American feelings are running high there, and some consider Haqqani an apologist for the U.S. Prosecutors on Long Island accused 13 students from 5 schools of cheating on the SATs, either by taking money and taking the test for someone else or by paying someone else to take the SATs for them. This comes 2 months after 7 other Long Island students were accused of cheating. The new charges appear to underscore the district attorney's claim that security is falling short, not only on the SATs, but also on the ACTs. Wednesday's Business Day says the nation's second-largest drug company agreed to pay $950 million and plead guilty to misbranding the painkiller Vioxx. The charge stemmed from Merck's decision to promote Vioxx as a treatment for rheumatoid arthritis before the FDA approved it for that in 2002. Vioxx was taken off the market 2 years later. Evidence showed it put people at risk for heart problems. But by then, about 25 million patients had already taken it. The chairman of the FCC took a step toward blocking the $39 billion merger of AT&T and T-Mobile. The commission staff concluded the deal would reduce competition. FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski wants a hearing before an administrative law judge. AT&T would have to explain why it thinks the deal is in the public interest. That's our preview of Wednesday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.